Listening to KDRT 95.7 right here in Davis, California. The name of the show is Imagining Yolo Davis. In the background, you are hearing Downtown Sound by the Gold Souls. And the reason I picked that show is because it has something to do with today's guest. And I'm going to introduce today's guest to you here shortly. But before I do want to just walk into this room here. You'll probably... Yes, they're already practicing. All these people here are practicing for what's coming up. They're getting way ahead of ourselves. June 16th, 17th, and 18th is Davis Music Fest. And these people are practicing in the background to be ready for you on that very special day. And to make that very special day, in the studio with me right now, I have a person that has helped put this together for many, many years. Kyle Munholland is the executive director of Davis Live Music Collective and the Davis Music Fest. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you, Peter. Happy to be here.
All right, try that again.
Thanks, Peter. I'm happy to be here.
Alrighty. So we're trying to... just say hello again one more time.
Mic number three.
There you go. You are number three.
Hey,
absolutely.
Peter.
Great. Well, okay. I'm going to walk out of here, and we're going to keep walking, and we're going to sit down behind some microphones, and we're going to talk about this. So so you are in charge of all of this.
That's what I'm told, yes.
Okay. So that's a big job. But before we get into all of that, just explain a little bit the mission of the fest.
So Davis Music Fest has always been and remains a good excuse to get together, kick summer off in a good way with live music, friends, new friends, old friends, and build community around something joyful.
Very good. Very good. But when did this start?
First Music Fest was 2011.
Wow. And how is it? Has it grown since then, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Year one, Danny Tomasello, who started the whole thing, had two stages, and I can't remember how many bands, but it was a one-day thing, one evening, and so much fun. I attended, met him there, and started getting involved at that point. And now we, you know, our 11th edition, we have 41 bands, three days, nine stages.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many genres?
We actually have a pie chart that explains all that
The
background someplace. I didn't bring it with me. Many genres. I wouldn't say, you know, literally everything, but something for everybody. Jazz, pop, indie rock. We've got some heavier stuff. We've got some folksy stuff. The whole – as you know, as we're booking the shows and looking for bands, we just want everybody to have a good time. It's about something joyful and celebratory.
Yeah. So as it's growing, I would imagine you're working with the city of Davis to organize this?
Absolutely, yeah. We have been very lucky to have support from the city of Davis for a number of years.
Okay.
Both financial
really?
Through arts and culture grants, which is really key to our ability to grow and maintain what we're doing. But also just an acceptance that this thing is happening and it's a positive thing, bringing folks downtown and we're a pretty well-behaved crowd, so I think it's easy to get behind.
Okay, so you mentioned money. How else are you funded? Tickets, sponsors, what kind of things?
Sponsors and grants and ticket sales. That's primarily our, you know, the city. We received a grant this year also from Sacramento Regional Arts Foundation.
Really?
Kind of a post-COVID bring it back grant. The Davis Live Music Collective is kind of the mothership of Music Fest. So our members, who are all volunteers, are a big supporter, both financially and boots on the ground. We're the, those are the people who are putting in the volunteer time to make it all happen.
Okay. So let's just zero in on the fest here. How many volunteers roughly are involved, either before or during or both?
Sure. Yeah. So before starts kind of early fall. We'll wrap up fest, take the summer off, and then get started planning next year's fest in October.
Yeah.
And there are a good dozen of us who work year-round as volunteers to do the organizational stuff. And then weekend of, we'll have roughly 100 volunteers taking tickets, providing, you know, at-the-door information.
Right.
You name it. It's all got to be done by somebody. Cleaning up, setting up, selling T-shirts. It's all volunteers.
Wow. And I'm sure you're aware of it, but your local radio station right here, KDRT, is broadcasting two nights of the show.
I'm very excited
for
that. Yeah,
so are we. So are we. Okay, so what kind of jobs beforehand do the volunteers do? What is involved? Sort of like selecting bands, or at least mentioning bands or throwing them on the table, here's a good one or whatever?
Yeah, no, it all starts kind of with our core inside group. And, you know, as we're booking bands, we've worked for years to try to create a balance of fan favorites and our favorites who have played before that we know are a good fit. People come out for them.
Yeah.
And they're fun. And we've built relationships over these years. So we, you know, how many of those bands do we want to bring back? And then we want to balance that with new acts, people that we know, have either wanted to get but haven't been able to for whatever reason in the past, or they're just brand new and they're doing great stuff. We think they'd be a good fit. So we're trying to get that kind of 50-50 split. People throw things out. We go through the alumni roster and, you know, kind of, hey, who do you want to bring back? And that's kind of the starting point. And then when we get down to real stuff, the last few months, there's a lot of delegation. Somebody's in charge of getting all of the permits that we need for sound and alcohol sales. We've got, you know, somebody's got
alcohol sales. Isn't that up to the individual restaurants? Or
in most cases it is.
Okay.
But then when we do things like at the Pence Courtyard, where we set up a stage there, we have to kind of run that and get it permitted and everything.
Okay. Alrighty. And we've talked about, well, you've kind of mentioned the logistics, so we won't go into that. So exactly, you did mention you go through and ask people what favorite bands from the people that are members would like to come back. How else are bands selected? Is it by genre? We can't have all rock, or we can't have all jazz, and we got to mix it up. But how do you get down to the final one? Is that like a final vote between people, or do you say, no, it's this one?
You know, I do exercise a little executive privilege in some of those choices.
Good.
But for the most part, no, it's pretty democratic. Everybody's got a say within the board. And we do take a lot of suggestions from social media. If people saw something that they really like, we'll, you know, we look at Instagram, Facebook, and all that. Yeah, fans, folks who just show up. I really love this band. Bring them back.
Yeah.
We read all that and take it to heart.
Okay.
As well as bands, artists who want to be involved. We take, you know, we get requests to play. Even this week, I've received a couple. I was like, no, we've been booked since February.
Yeah.
We're pretty set.
Yeah.
But we do keep a running list of that for next year.
So how many bands did you say are involved altogether?
This year we've got 41.
41 bands. So out of those 41, how many were – it's sort of like a college admission thing. How many were rejected or couldn't fit in, or you didn't have the room for? Not necessarily rejected, right?
Well, I mean, that's – yeah, it's a good question. And it depends on how you want to measure it. If it's new acts who would like to come who haven't played before, it's probably as many as are playing in the 40s.
Right.
And then if it's bands that have played in the past, I mean, at this point, being our 11th year, we've booked over 300 bands over those 11 years, some of whom are now defunct or have moved off to different places, or good for them, have blown up and we can't afford them anymore. We've had the California Honey Drops and Dust Bowl Revival who, like, we got them and really enjoyed them, and they put on a great show, and now they're playing, you know, they're headlining giant festivals, which, good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Do you have any emergency criteria for if a band, a big name band, says, I want to play Friday night to knock out everybody else. What if Paul McCartney said, I want to do that? What do you have, like something set up that just in case?
If Paul McCartney calls and says, I would like to play your festival and we need to bump a couple bands, I think we'd find a way to make that work. Yeah.
We'll make a fourth night, right, for the others. Yeah. Okay, let's take just a quick station break here. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pasteur, of a show called, and it isn't Listening Lyrics, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We are talking about volunteers that make a difference in this city or any city, volunteers that make the community healthier, and that could be, in this case, music. It could be people working with animals. It could be people working with the ill. It could be people talking about trees or whatever. So that's what this show is all about. And let's see. Imagining Yolo Davis, right after this show, we have Doug Deep coming in, and his Electric Compost Heap is going to be playing. Right now, we are talking with Kyle Munholen. How am I saying that wrong? I want to put a U in there, Munholen.
Yeah, don't overthink it. It's just like okay. It's Munholen.
Munholen, okay. And he is the executive director of the Davis Live Music Collective and the Davis Music Fest. And I'm going to ask him something now that I ask all my guests, and that is there have to be a funny story or two that happened during either the creating of this year's Music Fest or past Music Fest, or a little mini crisis and how you deal with that. There has to be some stories.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
probably
boy.
Many of them. So
a lot of our stories are weather related since we're in the beginning of June. We have to plan for Davis summer, which, you know, could be 105 degrees or it could be 85 degrees or even cooler. And last year, you know, knock wood, it was beautiful and perfect, and we're hoping for more of the same. But yeah, those years were like last minute scrambling around. Let's find some fans and misters and keep people from just self-igniting on the stage. So, you know, hopefully we don't have to deal with that this year.
I looked up the 30-day forecast. I don't know if you have already.
I don't want to jinx it. I haven't.
95. 95 on Friday, 92 on Saturday. I forget, but and Sunday was sort of the same.
That's pretty par for the course. So we'll have the misters. It'll be good.
Yeah, good. So what about any human stories besides the weather that were funny, like whatever?
The human stories are always the best because that's what it's about, bringing people together around a good time. But there are just always so many moving parts. We have all of our volunteers and staff, and we have all the artists, you know, 40 bands. Some of them are solo, but most of them are 3, 4, 8-piece bands.
Right.
So that's a lot of people. And then all of our guests. And, you know, we're looking at, depending on the stage and the day, between 500 and 2,000 people all over downtown. So some of my favorite things are when, you know, I'm kind of making the laps around downtown on Saturday, checking out different stages and putting out fires. And, you know, fortunately, not too many emergencies like that. But seeing a band who have parked – you know, half a block away from their venue and trying to wrangle equipment out of their car and just walking up and saying, hey, can I help you? And most of them, if they're new artists, we haven't met yet. It's only been email. And, you know, introduce myself. It's like, oh, you're the guy who's okay, not some random person trying to steal my gear out of my car.
Right.
We were earlier, right before the show, we were talking about Billy from, he's playing three different bands. Amazing drummer, one of my favorite musicians.
Yeah.
And last year we had to, like, I drove my car over to Sophia's and parked illegally right in front just so I could help him load his drums and move them to the next place where he was playing a set in 15 minutes.
Okay.
We tried to schedule around and not have that happen again. But yeah, it's just all these little human incidents that are, you know, fondly remembered, but in the moment create a bit of sweat.
I'll share one of mine. So normally, and this is all pre-COVID, when we were broadcasting, I would drive my car here with my bike on the back and then ride my bike to town because we have to have someone in the studio at all times. Sometimes we can't arrange all of that. So if there's any hiccup, guess what? Peter hops on his bike because from the studio to downtown Davis, where any of these venues are, on a bike ride, 6-7 minutes, maybe.
Sure.
A car ride during all of that is 30 minutes. So one year, it was just back and forth, back and forth. And I told the people, I said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't keep doing this, you know. But anyway, say, I'm going to do it again this year.
Bring the bike, yeah.
Bring the
bike.
That's
a great idea. I mean, we've worked hard to keep the footprint of Fest as relatively small as we can to make everything walkable.
All right.
You'll get your steps in for sure, moving from, you know, Delta Venus to Sophia's and, you know, the other places that you might want to go. But having a bike handy is a great idea. And, well, hopefully you won't have to do too much of that because you're going to be stationed doing your job, right?
You got it. We have backups for me and Doug there, just in case. Local businesses. Any businesses that, and don't mention them, but are there some businesses that maybe might say, you know, this might hurt me?
You know, we haven't had too much pushback like that. Okay. There are years when we did some street closures. We set up stages right in the middle of streets and got a little bit of pushback on that because, yeah, that's an impact to foot traffic and visibility
for
restaurants. But we've had such great support from the downtown business sector. We have, you know, most of our business sponsors are businesses that return year after year. And, you know, we really look for them for support and have developed these, you know, just very positive relationships. So all in all, you know, it's a weekend when, you know, the UC Davis has just wrapped up. Things are kind of winding down a little bit into summer. And so, you know, driving a little bit more foot traffic to dine and drink and just, you know, window shop downtown.
Right. How many people do you expect?
This year we have, you know, ticket sales have been really good and feedback and word of mouth has been good. So I'm expecting a good crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Approximate numbers?
We're
in the thousands? Well, in the thousands.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of where we've been hovering in the low thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
And the nice thing about it is, you know, individual venues definitely have cap sizes. Like, there are only so many people who fit in that space.
Right.
But there are four other stages going at the same time on Saturday anyway. And so there's room to spread around.
Yeah. Any street closures? You mentioned it before.
No, not this year.
Except the one that's already closed. Are you playing on that? What is that?
G Street has been closed since, you know, in the beginning of COVID era.
Right, right.
We don't have a stage there.
Okay.
It gets, you know, we would have to then close it off and keep it ticketed.
And
that would be one of those things that would impact those businesses. Yes. And we'd love to just drive traffic down there. It's like, hey, you want to go to one of these places and get food? It's wide open.
Take
a break from music and go grab a bite.
Right. Since the show is called Imagining, tell me, what would you imagine for the future of Davis Music Fest?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, and I'm an optimist. And when, you know, we first started this, it kind of started laying out 5- and 10-year plans, even at the beginning.
Right.
But it has all been pretty small stuff.
Right.
Smart growth, I think, and targeted growth. In the past couple of years, for us, that has meant diversifying our lineup and having a really representative lineup of artists performing who really look like our town.
Right.
So it's not all one genre. You're going to kind of look and see and find a lot of different kinds of people playing a lot of different kinds of music.
Right, right.
And I think we're going to continue moving in that direction. And as some of the artists that we get and the funding that we've had has become more consistent, reaching back to some of those artists who've maybe outgrown us a bit and saying, hey, do us a solid and come back.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's what you're imagining in the future. Well, before we go on, let's just make sure people know where to go if they're listening and they've never heard of this. So
do you
have a website?
We have, of course. Yeah, we do have a website, davismusicfest.com.
Okay.
And if you're on social media, all the handles are at Davis Music Fest. All of it is supported by our kind of nonprofit volunteer organization, Davis Live Music Collective.
Right.
Same thing, at Davis Live Music.
Right.
Or davislivemusic.com. But all of the schedule, ticketing, all that kind of stuff you want to find for Fest is at davismusicfest.com. You can go to Armadillo Music downtown and buy actual paper tickets.
Perfect.
Or get them online.
Okay.
I'm actually going to be live in person this weekend at Davis Pride. We'll have a booth there, and I'll have paper tickets available for digital or cash money purchase.
Nice.
And what else?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I like about your website is you have a nice description of every act playing.
Yeah.
You know,
because there's a lot, you know, we don't expect, these are not household name bands unless you're really into the local scene.
Right.
So, you know, there's a link. We actually, on the schedule page on the website, there's a link to a Spotify, public Spotify channel.
Right.
And YouTube as well that has song samples from right. everybody who's playing.
Right. And the reason I say that is because in my little neighborhood, people come up to me and say, so which band should I see? And I don't know what they like,
nice.
You know. So is that new that you do such a beautiful picture of the band, a description of the band, a link to their songs?
I'll tell you, I mean, in a 10-year span, yeah. it's relatively new, but it's yeah. been the last few years. And it has a whole lot to do. A lot of that's artist-driven, where bands, you know, it's just much easier now with good quality cell phones and,
right.
and you know, marketing tools. They have a lot of that stuff queued up already, and we just ask for it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nice that you post it there.
Yeah, no, yeah. and that's really what it's about for us, too, is supporting the artists. Who, you know, this is their work and their passion, and we're just trying to drive people to it.
So the date, is that always the same in the middle of June?
With minor variation, yeah. We're always going to be on Father's Day weekend, right after graduation.
Okay.
So we've got, you know, not too much time for people to get out into the world vacationing. So, you know, summer's just getting started. But we're not competing or overlapping too much with what's going on campus.
All right. So you mentioned the mothership of all this, and that is the Davis Live Music Collective. In a little short summary, tell us about that.
Yeah. So this we do. It's volunteer membership based. Members pay a nominal amount to get guaranteed tickets to 4 shows every year. We try to do a show every quarter. Davis Music Fest is the quarter two show. This is our summer event.
Okay.
And throughout the year, we'll do other standalone events
okay.
That public are welcome to attend as well. It's all ticketed and a good time. Again, many genres. And it's also our base of operations for volunteers and word-of-mouth promotion, honestly.
Right.
After, you know, now it's been 12 years with, you know, the COVID years kind of gapped in the middle.
Right.
We've been lucky to have, you know, had some good shows and some good word of mouth to where now, you know, one of my very favorite things in the world is to be out someplace and hear somebody talking about, oh, I made my plans. I got my tickets. We're going to Music Fest.
Right.
And when it's people I don't know, it just feels like, oh, we've done something right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So those concerts that are held except for the fest, where are they usually held?
It really depends on the genre of music that we're booking. We have a good arrangement with Davis Oddfellows Hall, which is a good stand-up venue for you know something maybe a little bit more loud. And then we also work with the City of Davis and have presented shows in Veterans Memorial Theater, if it's more of a sit-down show. And we've also done smaller pop-up shows here in the studio, actually, Davis Media Access, People's Backyards, just... Depends on what fits. The beautiful thing is the thing that fits.
Just a question. I love stand-up comedy. Have you ever had an opening act for any of these that's a stand-up comedian?
That's funny. We have not.
You know, that I just love stand-up comedy.
I think the closest we've ever got, we had the Rainbow Girls play a show at Veterans Memorial Theater with Meisner and Smith.
Yeah.
And they're another one of these acts that, like, oh, they're playing all these great festivals. They're everywhere now.
Right, right.
And their live show is so funny. Their stage banner is like half the show, and they're so good at it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, okay. Would you consider a stand-up comic to open a show?
I don't think it's off limits. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great, great. So before we finish up, any final comments, what people should look for? We haven't talked about how to get here. Parking might be an issue.
Yeah, parking is always an issue because it's Davis.
Right.
So the way it's set up, we've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday is all at Sudwark Brewing Company,
right?
Which is great. Now the restaurant is open. The restaurant will be open for regular service on their patio and inside. So parking there is always tight, likely to be more tight. So I recommend you park on 2nd Street and walk in. You can actually park at the DMV kitty corner and walk in as well, or bike.
Okay.
But that's going to be a great night. Always just like a neighborhood block party. But come out. And then Saturday, we're all over downtown. We actually worked with the city this year to have parking enforcement lifted Saturday afternoon from 3 p.m. on.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about leaving your car and reparking, but you just might want to get there a little early. And again, bike and walk.
Right.
And then Sunday, we are just at Delta of Venus downtown, and parking shouldn't be too much of a hassle there.
public transport? The regular buses run? There's no special buses or anything?
No special buses. Okay. Just regular deal with Unitrans. Okay. And
so, yeah, I mean, I take the bus once in a while. So the P and the Q are my buses. They circle the town.
I'm on the L line.
Oh, okay. So one year I actually took the bus when I wasn't involved, but now it's the car and my bike.
And part of it, especially on Saturday, because it is all such a small footprint downtown, it's a great place to just walk and you get to hear, especially our outdoor stages, like, oh, you know, from a block away, you can kind of hear what's going on and you know, follow your ears. You might find something new.
Well, I want to thank you. I mean, really thank you and all of the people involved in this, especially the volunteers. You said over 100 of them. It's just amazing.
Yeah, we have volunteer coordinators who, that's their whole job, is wrangling our volunteers. There are still a few volunteer slots available. You can email info@davismusicfest.com or volunteer@davismusicfest.com, and there's also a link on the website, a little tab up top to click on for that.
You've been listening to Imagining Yolo Davis. I'm your host, Peter Pasteur. We've been talking with Kyle Munholland, and he's the executive director of Davis Live Music Collective and the Davis Music Fest. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thank you, Peter.
We're going to go out with a song by Boot Juice, "Don't Worry About Me, Babe." Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for Dug Deep in the Electric Compost Heap.
Trouble, and I got 'em too. There isn't anything.